Hello, LifePoint, and welcome to the DriveCast. I'm Ben Miller, Campus Life Pastor at our Marion campus. Thanks for taking a few minutes to spend with us today. This past weekend, we began our new series called Forgiven, which is really a deep dive into Matthew 18 and what many people call the parable of the unforgiving servant. In this series, we are breaking that into three parts. And so for our first week, we covered verses 21 to 27. And that starts with a couple of verses in 21 and 22 that really are a question. It says, "Then Peter came up and said to him, 'Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times?' Jesus said to him, 'I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times.'" So Peter wants to know, "But what if they keep sinning against me? How long do I keep forgiving?" It's a natural question. So what if someone keeps doing the same thing to us over and over again? Is there a point where enough is enough? Is there a limit to forgiveness? And I believe Peter is being generous in his mind with the answer of seven, because the traditional Jewish teaching was three. But the real problem here is that Peter thinks forgiveness is about keeping count. And Jesus is about to show him that forgiveness is about understanding the King's grace. But clearly seven isn't the answer, because Jesus replies, "I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times." I don't believe that Jesus is giving Peter a literal limit. I believe Jesus is tearing down the idea of scorekeeping. Throw the notebook out on this one. And to follow up with that, Jesus tells a story about a servant who owes a king an unimaginable debt. The amount of money this servant owes in today's terms was about $420 million. It's hard to imagine that sum of money, and I was trying to put this in terms that my brain could understand, and I can't explain why, but I thought in terms of buying a company. There's a company known for producing a famous chocolate taffy, and you probably guessed it, it's Tootsie Roll. Tootsie Roll is worth roughly $420 million. That's a lot of Tootsie Rolls. So this servant owes an entire company's worth to the king, who wants to come collect this loan. And of course, the servant isn't able to repay it. There's nothing he can do. He's at rock bottom here. He can't bargain. And he just falls to his knees and he promises to repay the loan, even though that's impossible. It would take him multiple lifetimes to work off that kind of debt. But then something really unexpected happens here. The king looks at him and his heart breaks for him. And he just forgives the debt. He didn't offer to cut the loan in half or refinance it for a better rate. He forgave it. But forgiveness isn't that simple. Tim Keller says it this way: forgiveness is always costly. The one who forgives absorbs the cost. And so when I think about that, that's exactly what's happening here. Forgiveness is never free to the one who is forgiving. Someone has to carry the cost. There's always a cost. And I think sometimes we overlook that when we talk about forgiveness. Forgiveness never means that the offense didn't matter. In fact, the greater the offense, the greater the cost of forgiveness. And if someone destroys your car and you forgive them, the repair bill doesn't just magically disappear. Forgiveness means that you're offering to pay for that repair yourself. If someone gossips about you and it hurts your reputation and you forgive them instead of seeking revenge, the damage to your reputation doesn't just go away. There's a cost. Forgiveness is always costly because someone has to carry that loss. This is no less true in this parable. And if you haven't guessed it already, the king in this parable is God. And that debt, it's ours. Each and every one of us, throughout our lifetime, we rack up an enormous mountain of spiritual debt, every evil thought, word, or deed, day after day, moment after moment, no matter who you are, we create a mountain of spiritual debt. And the king, our king, the king of kings, the Lord of lords, offers us forgiveness, and we must choose to accept it. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift, the free gift of God, is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord." God is a just God and must punish sin, and we want him to be justice. We love this about him. We want evildoers to get what they deserve and make the world a better place. The only problem is that we just don't want to be the recipient of his justice. But we are, and we've earned that, because the wages of sin is death. Wages are earned, and we earn those wages, but God has offered us the free gift of eternal life with Jesus. And even though the word free is in that verse, forgiveness, we know, is always costly. And he carried that loss. This parable reminds us that every one of us stands before God with a debt we can never repay. And when I look back at my life and think about every selfish thought I've ever had, every moment I showed sinful pride, every careless word I spoke in anger, each act of rebellion, it's overwhelming. And I have to drop to my knees and cry out to God for forgiveness. And the King forgives our debt without repayment. And he took that loss, and that's the gospel. See, it was incredibly costly. It cost the Father his Son. It cost Jesus his life. Justice wasn't ignored, it was satisfied. And the more I sit in that truth, the harder it becomes to keep holding on to bitterness. And I want to be careful here. That doesn't mean that the wounds others have caused us suddenly stop hurting. It doesn't mean that trust is instantly restored. It doesn't mean that there aren't difficult conversations ahead. But what it does mean is that those offenses begin to look different when I'm grateful for the debt that I've been forgiven. The cross has a way of shrinking our pride. And it reminds me that I wasn't rescued because I deserve it. I was forgiven because God is merciful. So here's my challenge for us today. Let's keep our eyes on the debt that we've been forgiven as we go throughout our day and allow that truth to wash over us and produce grace towards others. And when we stand in the shadow of God's forgiveness long enough, we begin to see people the way he sees them. We begin to love the way he loves. And over time, we become people who forgive because we chose not to forget the impossible debt we've been forgiven. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for your forgiveness. When I look at my own life, I'm so glad that you didn't stop forgiving me at 7 sins. You have forgiven me an impossible to pay debt. And I pray for each one of us listening today that this truth would resonate. It would change the way we encounter others throughout our day. I pray that we would live out the grace that's been given to us. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.